It's a podcast. Hey, hey, have you heard? Krista Makes a Podcast.
Well, hey, Chris, I can't believe another year has gone by.
Yeah, and it was a great year, man. You know, as we do these episodes one by one, we get excited for that week's episode. We record other episodes. But when you look back on what we did in the full year, it's pretty impressive the resume that we have of guests. Each year when I look back, I'm like, oh my God, I think that this rivals any music podcast in the world as far as guest quality.
Well, that's awesome. And I know that you did a little research for this to put this together. I'm going in kind of blind here, Chris. I haven't went back and looked who the first guest of the year was. This is kind of fun for me. I don't sit back and I'll listen to maybe an edit or something that you send over. But you know, once the episode's recorded, it kind of just goes out there. And this is neat for me too.
Well, I listen to our episodes when they come out on Monday morning. When I'm making my breakfast, I just want to experience it from like the listener's perspective. And so every Monday morning, I listen to our actual episode. And also, I want to make sure nothing slipped past me that I need to go back and fix real quick. But yes, when I look back at these episodes, man, it is very impressive. And before we get into looking back at all the episodes, Chris, I want to bring up something really important. I want to say thank you so, so, so much to the people who are members of our supporting cast, which help us continue making this show. Honestly, if it wasn't for having that supporting cast, we wouldn't be afforded the luxury of making this podcast.
That's right. And you know, some of the folks that belong to our supporting cast, which is our version of Patreon, I don't really want to say this, but some of them say, Chris, that they actually enjoy the after party that we do almost as much as the main show.
Well, Chris, I actually had a show this past weekend, and there were a couple of ladies there that were very, very nice. And they said to me that they love the after, you know, people have said this to me before, they love the after party and they love when you and I talk to each other. So they're gonna be really happy about this episode. But they also said that I always sound really happy. And I was like, well, I am. I'm always happy. I'm talking to Chris. I'm podcasting. I'm happy.
Do they say I sound grumpy?
No, but they just noted that I sound especially happy. No, you sound happy too, I think.
You're overtly happy. Well, hey, but before we jump into this, Chris, again, thank you to everyone that belongs to supporting cast. Head over to chrisdemakes.com. You can sign up over there and you'll get bonus episodes of the after party. You can hear Chris and I talk in all our glory. But I just want to give a little bit of a backstory here. You know, spring of 2020, Chris had the idea of doing this podcast. He said, you should put a podcast together. We did. We set out. I said to Chris, listen, I don't want this to be a flash in the pan pandemic thing. I want to see this through. We have to do this at least through the pandemic. Here we are almost 2 years post pandemic, still doing it. I'm so proud that we stuck to our guns. We put an episode out every Monday since the first week of June 2020. So I'm proud of the accomplishment. I'm stoked for everybody that listens and loves the show. And I'm reminded every day how much this means to a lot of people through our Facebook group, all the socials, and thank you so much.
Yeah, and you had a lot of people talking to you when you were out on tour this past year, right?
Tons. All the time. It, you know, they would come up, we would do our VIP meet and greets with the band, and 8 times out of 10, the first thing out of their mouth was, you know, your podcast is awesome. That's just such a great feeling.
Love to hear that. Love to hear that, Chris. And I think some of these episodes, maybe all of these episodes, are a reason why. And I want to look back on the year, like you said. You don't even remember. I bet you don't even remember what the first episode we did of 2023 was, do you?
I don't.
Yeah.
It
was
Gosh.
It was a radio rock band, modern rock band.
Was that 3 Days Grace?
It was. It was Neil Sanderson. That was our first episode of the year.
Okay.
It was really cool because it was a drummer's perspective. Not that he's just a drummer. He's an all-around musician. But I thought that was a really cool episode. You know, it was one of those episodes where I've heard that song a lot. Maybe it's a little bit outside of the realm of what I personally listen to. But then listening to the creation of that song from his perspective, it just gave me a whole new appreciation for the song, which that happened a lot of times this year.
Oh yeah, we're what now? At the recording of this, 190 episodes deep or something like that.
We've done 186 so far. We've had 186 guest episodes, and that was episode 136.
Yeah, you know, 10 years ago, a number of these songs I might have told you just, you know, off the cuff, straight up, I don't like this song. And there's not a song that we've went through and combed through on this show or had a guest that I haven't enjoyed. It's been awesome because I'm able to look at the songs differently. I'm not just hearing them. I'm kind of hearing them again for the first time.
Yeah, I agree, man. As the editor of this podcast, I get to hear these songs a lot when I'm editing the episode. So yeah, I gain a whole new appreciation for them as well. The next episode, episode 137, we had Justin Curry from Delamitri on to talk about Roll to Me. What a pop gem.
Yeah, that was a ton of fun to break down that song. And that was, I think I even mentioned it to Justin in the episode, that was a song that, you know, I wasn't going to be listening to in the mid-90s. It just wasn't speaking to me. I was too embroidered in punk rock and what I was doing then. But what a great song.
Yeah, it's a really, really good song. I'd be so psyched if I wrote something that unbelievably catchy. And Justin was one of those episodes. He's a Scottish fella. And it was one of those episodes where you heard as the episode went on, he opened up more and more and like enjoyed the experience. I think at first he was like, wait a second, you're going to read every lyric of the song? I know there's some people, you hear it in the tone of their voice, that first time you read like the first lyric of the song, they're like, uh-oh, you know, but I thought he was awesome, man. And that band, when I dove further into their catalog, I'm like, man, this band's really awesome.
Yeah, there's been a number of bands that we've had on the show that I've went back and just, you know, rediscovered their catalog. Just the one that comes to mind is the latest Candlebox single. It's killer, you know, and it's something that I probably wouldn't have noticed. It wouldn't have been on my radar had I not had Kevin on the show.
Right, right. Hey, the next episode after the Delamitri episode, this is one. In the after party, you had brought this song up just like a few months before that. So I reached out to him and I'm glad that I was able to get him. It was JoLynn Turner discussing Rainbow's Street of Dreams. That's a personal favorite of yours.
It is. And what a cool story. You know, it reminds me a lot of the recent story we had with Eric Bazillion, you know, meeting the love of your life just by happenstance. And I love stories like that. I love how they turn into number one songs.
Yeah, that song came to him in a dream. Another song that seems very dreamy or some sort of nightmare or something that we had in the next episode. Do you know what that would be?
I don't.
Vaden Todd Lewis discussing the Toadies Possum Kingdom.
What a weird song.
Mm-hmm.
That song is so strange. I think I might have even mentioned in the episode, Chris, that it, for the time, I think 1994, it had every marking of a hit single. But if you just would have rewound the clock 3, 4, 5 years, I just couldn't see a song like that being on the radio. Just such an odd track, but so cool.
Such a strange and dark song to be like a rock hit.
Yeah.
But it was a very cool story behind the song. That was a great episode. He was a great guest. And then, Chris, next up, we had a song that you had tossed around, maybe just on the podcast. I don't know if you tossed it around with your bandmates, but I do think this would be an amazing cover for you guys to do. We had Sam Reed from Glass Tiger talking about Don't Forget Me When I'm Gone.
Love that song. I love that we were able to get him on the show. Just such a great pop song. Yes, that would be an amazing cover song. Hopefully nobody does it before Less Than Jake does. Because it'd be a really cool cover. I love the simplicity of the song. I want to say that later the chorus and the bridge were the same chord. Something happened in the song that I just marveled at. I thought it was so cool.
The thing I always remember from that song is he said that whoever produced that song, I can't remember who it was. It was somebody pretty famous, some famous producer. Anyway, I have to go back and listen to it. But he said that, you know, it was like a song with a shuffle beat. And he's like, yeah, we haven't had a shuffle hit in a few years. And then they made a shuffle hit. And then next up, Chris, we had KT Tunstall discussing her song Black Horse and the Cherry Tree. This was a really, really cool episode. I thought she was awesome. It's funny. I had never seen the movie The Devil Wears Prada before. And I just, mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to watch this. This is like a Meryl Streep classic role and I'm going to watch it. And the first song in the movie, like during the opening credits, was a KT Tunstall song. Not this one, but I still thought like, oh, that's cool. She was on our show.
Yeah, I can't recall how many times I had heard that song. I did not know it was her. And I think you might have, as usual, hey, have you ever heard this song? And I started listening to it. And when it got to the hook, yeah, I had heard it a ton of times. And since then, it's like everywhere I go now, grocery stores, I'm always hearing it. It happens a lot.
Woohoo!
Yep.
That's the song. And then next up, Chris, we really went completely the other way as far as styles of music when we had J.B. Brubaker from August Burns Red talking about the song Whitewashed, a pretty brutal metal song.
I always love the brutal heavy metal guys. They're always the kindest, sweetest. Like him and I are constantly talking now on Instagram. We're liking each other's, you know, posts and whatnot. Such a great guy. I did a ton of touring with August Burns Red, Warped Tours and whatnot. And you know, I had seen them out there, but again, to put this one under the microscope and realize what's going on here under the hood, these guys, it's a next level. It's brutal, well executed and well thought out songs and parts.
Yeah, very, very awesome. Very much a band's band, a band that you could watch and marvel at the musicianship going on, and I really like that. And then next up, Chris, what a story behind this song. We had John Parr on to discuss St. Elmo's Fire. I would say maybe the best story behind a song of the year.
Yeah, the story is absolutely incredible. I had heard rumblings of the story. You know, back prior to the internet, it was information was a little different than we get it now, and you didn't always know what to believe. Much like today with the internet, you don't know what to believe. But yeah, I think I may have heard the story, but when he went through and described it, it was just the inspiration that came out of that, and what a song! That song is so uplifting. It like makes sense that what it was written about.
Yeah, I loved that episode. He was such a good dude too. They thanked us profusely for doing the episode. I'm like, dude, thank you. This is like an iconic song. That was a really, really special one, I thought, and pretty damn inspiring.
You said that a minute ago. You love when guests, you know, like you'll see it in their eyes. They'll either like, oh my God, this guy's going to start reading every lyric, or they're like, oh my God, this is going to be cool. And we've seen that turnaround. John Parr was one of them. By the end of it, he didn't want it to end, which was so cool.
Yeah. And speaking of inspiring, Chris, the next episode up, we had Ben Lee discussing Catch My Disease. And I say inspiring because to this day, I don't know if I'll ever forget when he talked about if you have fun recording a song, it's going to be fun to listen to that song. I took that away from that episode and I never forget it. Every time I'm recording or playing, you know, with friends, I think about that quote all the time. I thought he was such an awesome guest.
It's a great quote. There's songs from my catalog that there was a lot of, you know, a lot of things going on, shall I say, within the band. And the song is almost tainted by that a little bit. So I completely get what he said. And again, another amazing guest. He wanted to be here. He was stoked. It's great.
Yeah. He's a podcaster himself. So he came in very, very pro on the podcasting end. And I always appreciate that. And then next up, Chris, we had my old friend JT Woodruff discussing Hawthorne Heights, Ohio is for Lovers. It's an emo classic, and he was a great guest. He's a great guy. I love JT.
He was. It was a ton of fun to have him on. I think what I get a little bit, I'm trying to think of the word, flabbergasted by is a lot of these guys will come on, and they love me outside of the podcast. They love me from the band. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of them, and he was one of them, I don't know for sure they know what they're getting into. But by the middle of the podcast, it was like we knew each other for 10 years. I love that. I love that connection with musicians, especially the ones that like to nerd out and go deep.
Yeah, it was cool. Then next up, Chris, we had one. We were trying to get this guy for a while, and I think that the listeners really loved this episode. It was perfect timing for St. Patrick's Day. We had Dave King from Flogging Molly discussing drunken lullabies.
So good.
Yep.
So good. I love the story. I love everything of where he came from. He was, you know, hitting the clubs in Ireland as a kid all through the 70s into the early 80s, formed this band Fastway that had really good success. I mean, they toured internationally, and then he kind of found himself wondering what he was going to do next. He had gotten dropped. He still had a solo deal, I guess, and he was just kicking around L.A. and kind of got back to his roots, wanted to go back and play some traditional Irish stuff in the clubs, and it took off. And as I mentioned in the episode, I'll never forget just hearing the rumblings of Flogging Molly, 99-2000 Warped Tour. And within a year, they were everywhere.
Yeah, I thought that episode was great. The story behind the song was great. And, you know, it was perfect for St. Patrick's Day. It was our dream St. Patrick's Day week episode, and we made it happen. And then the next week, Chris, this was one that I thought was extra special. I always loved this song. And the guy I thought was great. If we are ranking the episodes, which I wouldn't do, maybe I would do it amongst my friends. I think all our episodes are great, but I wouldn't want to offend anyone who is like towards the bottom. But if we are ranking episodes, this would definitely be top five for me. Was when John Hampson came on to talk about 9 Days, absolutely Story of a Girl. I thought that episode was incredible.
He's awesome. Yeah. He's just such a humble dude. He's like I believe English teacher.
Yes.
10th grade, right. English teacher.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's this mild mannered. I think I even might have said it in the rap when we did his episode. He's like, you know, Clark Kent during the day, and he gets to go play rock star Superman at night, you know, and he's right. just, he gets it. He had this hit single though, that to this day, still, I believe, it wasn't Stranger Things. It was in a movie or not a movie.
Yeah, like, it was Netflix. In the Best Picture, Everything Everywhere All at Once.
There you go.
Best Picture of last year. And the song had a resurgence once again because of that. And John has been super kind. I know he's a listener of the podcast. And he was actually on One Hit Thunder before he was on Krista Makes a Podcast. It was after we recorded that I asked him to be on Krista Makes a Podcast. But yeah, I freaking love that guy.
Yeah, if you're listening, hey John.
Yeah, love John. Then next up, Chris, man, this was a cool one because this is just one of those 80s iconic, like probably one of the first five songs I think of if someone said name an 80s song. We had Mick Conroy from Modern English on to talk about I Melt With You.
Again, the guy comes on and he went ahead and listened to a couple episodes,
yeah,
of the podcast. I think he listened to the David Page Toto episode.
Yeah, yeah.
And he came in just all guns blazing, like, yeah, I love what you do. Like, I'm excited for this. And then from there, it just it wrote itself. It was so good.
That's so cool. Like these guys that write these songs that are so woven into the fabric of our beings take the time to listen to what we do. That's so cool. I love that. And this song, just amazing. I thought he was really fun and really funny. I thought that he just had a great sense of humor about everything. And he was
and I had to, and you, we both had to research this one a lot because remember there was different mixes.
Yeah.
There was like a mono mix and there was a stereo mix and they did like a dance club remix. I was like, well, which one do we do? And whatever we settled on, it ended up being great.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really cool. And they actually re-recorded the song again in like 1990, did another version of it. But, yeah, that song lives on. I think that song will always live on. Quintessentially 80s, and I love it. Next episode up for all the punk rockers out there. Hey, we have a lot of requests for these punk rock episodes, and far be it from us to deny the listeners the punk. But we had Russ Rankin on to discuss Good Riddance, Darkest Days, and that was a fun episode. That's a band, you know, I've listened to forever. I became a fan of the Fat Records catalog as a teenager and loved it ever since, you know?
Yeah, and it's funny. Russ is very, you know, soft-spoken, doesn't say much unless he's approached and you talk to him, but he really opened up, and it was fun to talk to him in that way. I'd never really talked to a musician to musician, talking about songs and nerding out, and it was cool just getting to talk about their recording experience with Bill Stevenson doing the record, and of course Less Than Jake getting to go record with Bill. So that was cool.
And then next up, Chris, we had Josh Caterer from the Smoking Popes on to talk about the song Megan. Such a heartfelt song, a song that so many of us from this world of music, I don't know, at one point or another have really related to. There's a real sense of longing in the way this song plays out, and especially in how it ends. It's like such a relatable and heavy emotion. And I thought he was an awesome guest. It was another one who really opened up about a song where you didn't know how much the guest was going to open up about it, you know?
I love sad pop, and no one does it better than the Popes. Going to be playing with them soon. The Smoking Popes, Reliant K, Less Than Jake, and MXPX, all alumni of Krista Makes a Podcast.
Yeah.
At the Hollywood Palladium on January 6th. So, yeah, love Megan. I love most of their catalog. To me, they can do no wrong, the Smoking Popes.
Yeah. And next up, Chris, we had for episode 151, we had what you would call a ripper. This guy's like the definition of a ripper. We had Chris Shiflett on to discuss his song West Coast Town, which is a song that is not what you would expect from Chris Shiflett. It's not what you'd expect from a guy who spent his whole life playing like heavy, hard rock. This is kind of like a heartfelt acoustic song.
Yeah, and I think that was the real reason why you and I wanted to do it. We liked the song. And, you know, if it would have sounded like, I hate to say this, but a Foo Fighters rehash, I don't know if I would have really been into it. You know, it's like, oh, this wasn't maybe good enough to make the record. So, yeah, and I know Dave Grohl writes all the stuff over in that camp. But nonetheless, this was not what you would imagine Chris Shiflett putting out as recorded output. I love the song, and he was a great guest.
Yeah, that was cool. Then next up, we had a double guest episode when we had Luke and Greg from Stroke 9 discussing the song Little Black Backpack. A pretty crazy song in the way that it changes time signatures, and just it doesn't seem to lend itself structurally to being a hit, but it was.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those songs like Possum Kingdom that just it doesn't lend itself to being an obvious hit, but here it was. It got on the radio, going from 4 to 6, the time signature. What a quirky song. And again, it makes sense. It came out in the 90s, a time for quirkiness.
Right. And then next up, Chris, we had one that I've wanted to make happen for a long time, a band I've loved since I first heard them. We had Bert from The Used on to talk about The Taste of Ink, one of the biggest and most memorable songs of that 2000s era emo punk scene. You know, it's just incredible song. And he's another one who I didn't know how much he would open up about, you know, the writing of the song and everything. And he really did. He was a great guest.
He was awesome. It was really difficult to get Bert on the show because he lives in Australia. And yeah. The same thing with Ben Lee and some of our guests that live in Australia, New Zealand, that part of the world. It was hard to coordinate. But finally, we got a time. I think he was early in the morning and we were late at night. I think we recorded that. But known Bert forever. As you said, and I think we even talked about it back when we recorded the episode, if you were to name... I don't know, the top five quintessential songs of the 2000s, Taste of Ink would be in there for me.
Yeah. Oh, me too. What a jam. And then next up, Chris, we had your old buddy John Snodgrass on to discuss Drag the Rivers, Me and Joe Drove Out to California. And you could tell that you guys were old friends.
Yes. And you could tell that John, he still is an avid listener of the show. I just saw him when I was out in Colorado recording. John stopped by the studio and yeah, he was... I don't know. He kind of reminded me a little bit of his Drag the River bandmate, Chad. They both kind of came on and like, oh, I don't know. And they kind of downplayed their songwriting abilities and whatnot. And I kind of had to no pun intended, to drag it out of both of them to kind of be like, right. You know, and once they opened up, especially John, and things got going, it was a really cool story.
Yeah, very much a humble dude and seems to be a very well-liked guy, too. It seems like he's one of those guys that's friends with everybody, like Frank Turner. You know, like he's like that, too. It seems like everybody seems to like this guy and, you know, definitely came through in his episode. Then next up, we had Sean Stern from Youth Brigade discussing I Hate My Life. It's always cool to get one of those punk rock pioneers on the show.
That was interesting. I think that Sean, at first, I don't know, maybe he was a little surprised that, you know, I don't know if he really realized this was a songwriting podcast and how deep we were going to go. But again, once we got into it, we've never had a bad guest on here, you know, either right out of the gate, it's great. They either know what the show is or they're just in a good mood to do an interview that morning. Or you get the guest, you kind of have to work a little bit, but once you got him, and Sean was one of those.
Yeah, it was cool hearing about, it was kind of the dawn of punk rock. And it's cool hearing those stories about what laid the groundwork for our bands a decades plus later. So I thought that was really cool. And then next up, Chris, it was a big one this year. We had John Oates on discussing Maneater. That was one of those surreal episodes.
Yeah, I can't think of another word. Surreal is the perfect description. He was great. He was so humble and forthcoming. And just to, if you sit back and just think of how many hit songs Hall and Oates had, it's mind boggling. And Maneater was one of the biggest.
Yeah, Chris, we did a One Hit Thunder like live trivia event for charity a couple weeks ago, and I was the host. And my final question was, between the two people that were left, Hall & Oates had 16 top 10 hits. How many can you name? And they had to go back and forth and be either like, okay, go ahead and do it. You know, they had to wager their points or whatever. 16 top 10 hits.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is. I don't think I could name all 16. I'd give it a pretty good go, but.
Yeah. You could get 10 of them pretty easy. Then next up, Chris. Oh, this was a really good one. This guy, I don't know, he was just such a fun guest. We had Slug from Atmosphere on to talk about The Best Day.
So good, and what a different song. That was one of the, it was a different song for us to feature on the show. I don't know if we had anything quite like it. His storytelling and the way he goes about the descriptors in his lyrics, it's awesome. I love his flow, I love his energy.
Yeah, storyteller both in his lyrics and on the podcast. There was so much about that episode. It was so relatable and just, I don't know, very humble and down-to-earth guy. And I have friends who are super into Atmosphere, and I just kind of knew a few songs, but after that, I became a big fan. That's one of those episodes where I thank the podcast for exposing me to more music. I really love that one. Next episode, I didn't need exposed to this one. Definitely was a fan of this song from the first time I ever heard it, because I was already a huge fan of this band. We had John Feldman on, who was actually our first ever guest back when we started the podcast, but we had him back to discuss Superman. What an episode.
Yeah, and John was bouncing off the walls again. He came in, you know, just raring to go. He's got such great energy, and, you know, here in your bedroom, that was the first episode. John was our first guest back in June 2020. That was their breakout song, their first single, their first hit. But man, Superman, Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
enough said, right? I mean, that song was massive, is massive.
What a crazy career John Feldman has had, not only with Goldfinger, but as a producer. He's really done it all, and he's an amazing guest. I would have him back every year if he would come back. So, I mean, and he definitely has enough songs to be able to do that forever. There's so many songs that John Feldman has written. So that was really awesome. And speaking of awesome, Chris, the next two episodes in a row, this was our first ever double episode. Fat Mike came on for a two-parter about the writing of The Decline.
Well, you know, we had Mike on the previous year, I think, Chris, talking about their new single, Linoleum, and we also broke down Linoleum.
Right.
And one of the first, it was probably in the first couple of months of the podcast, we both were like, we got to get Fat Mike, we got to do The Decline. But didn't know if it, you know, how do you break that down? We did it in two parts. I think we could have probably made four parts out of the 18-minute song. There was a lot there. We got him to commit. Two of my favorite episodes.
Yeah, man, that was really, really awesome. I know people talk to us about that episode like crazy. I mean, honestly, probably more than any other episode this year, people have talked to me like, I can't believe you guys did The Decline. Like, so I've been wanting to make that happen since we started the podcast. I'm so excited that that happened this year. And also, I'm very excited, speaking of return guests, that Bill Stevenson came back to discuss clean sheets from the Descendants. Bill's first time on the podcast was an episode that people still talk about, but this one I thought was incredible as well. This song, Clean Sheets, is just like, I don't know, it's a punk rock classic. It's amazing.
Yeah, one of my favorite Descendants songs. Always fun to talk to Bill. I do remember one thing that was funny. I had said, is that an overdub on Tom? He's like, I don't overdub. He kind of got offended by it. I was like, whoa. But it did sound like an overdub to me, in all fairness. And I thought for that time period, you know, maybe they're doing stuff like that. He's like, absolutely not. We're purists.
Yeah, that's true. We've heard that from all of them in one way or another in their episodes, because now we've had all the Descendants, well, all the current lineup of the Descendants on the show, which is really cool. Chris, real quick, before we go on, at this point, we're halfway through the year, and we do have to take a quick break for a word from our sponsors. Do you notice that I always put in a little ad break thing halfway through the episode?
It's soothing. It's soothing. It's not jarring at all, Chris. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I make them special for every episode. But this time, going to hear from our sponsors right now.
Hi, this is Chad Nicefield.
And this is Justin Press.
We're the host of Making Waves, the Shiprock podcast, a part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. We're inviting you to sail away with us on an epic journey in musical enlightenment. Every week, we bring you only the best artists in rock music and discuss everything from the cruise to the stage to the saga of being a professional recording artist. We'll have lots of special guests along the way, so tune in every week.
Your stateroom is available every Monday morning, so welcome aboard.
And we're back, Chris.
That's right. And we're going to continue on with the rest of 2023, the back half of the year. Lots of great stuff to talk about. But please head over to chrisdemakes.com. That is our supporting cast, kind of our version of Patreon. Go over there and you can sign up for the after party. That's bonus episodes each week. You can hear Chris and I talk a little bit more. ChrisDemakes.com. You don't know how much it helps us keep the lights on here. All the support, everyone that is already a supporting cast member, thank you so much. So ChrisDemakes.com. And Chris, what was the first episode in July?
Our first episode of July was another one where we had two guests at once, which we try to not do so much because it gets a little hard sometimes with people talking over each other and stuff. But this one was good because both of our guests were in the same place at the same time. It was Aaron Barrett and Scott Klopfenstein discussing Real Big Fish Sellout. Another huge episode for our listener base. I know people were really psyched about this one.
Yeah, we kind of had decided this summer, you know, I was leaving town to go do some touring with the band, and ahead of me leaving, we said, you know what, let's just get some guests we've already had. Of course, we had Aaron on before, and Bill, and Fat Mike, but to have Scott on, and his energy with Aaron was just incredible. Those two together, it was just like, you know, long-lost buddies that hadn't seen each other, which they hadn't. They just kind of reconnected. Scott moved back out to California, and as you said, they were in the same room together. It was awesome.
Yeah, they were having a lot of fun, and what a song. I mean, that song just captures a moment in my life, you know. It's that Real Big Fish and Less Than Jake, honestly. Like, you guys, that's just my high school years and, like, what I loved and still love so, so much. So I was so excited about that episode. I love those guys. I really, really love both of those guys.
Yeah, it was awesome. And I it took everything in me to say, when's the band getting back together? And I stopped myself. I didn't do it, so.
Yeah, right. Hey, and then next episode. Hey, sometimes we have guests on here where I'm like, man, if I get to a point where I can start more podcasts, I want to approach this person and tell them you should host a podcast. When we had Nick Wheeler from the All-American Rejects talking about Move Along, I just think he's such a cool guy. And I think that, like, if he had a podcast, I would listen to it.
I just remember laughing the whole episode with him. Yeah. He was just hilarious. He just gets it. So much to talk about with that song. The song was massive, huge hit, and it was cool to see his appreciation for it. You know, a lot of times when you never know, you'll get bands. Luckily, we haven't had it on here too much. We've, you know, there's been a little weirdness, and I won't name any names, of course, but for the most part, people appreciate their songs. And yeah, he fully appreciates Move Along and what it's done for him and the band and his career. And he was a great guest.
Yeah, great guest. Incredible song. I love the whole children's choir part of that song. And oh, man, what a jam. And he was a great guest. And then next up, Chris, we had Mikey Erg from the Ergs discussing Pray for Rain. That was a fun one. He's a funny guy, and I loved that one too. The Ergs were a band that I've heard about for a long time, wasn't real familiar with, and now I love because of Krista Makes a Podcast.
Yeah, I loved the remix that they did with Steve Albini on the song. And hey, Mikey, if you're listening, what's up? He's an avid listener of the show, and he was very, very stoked that we had him on. So very cool.
Yeah, that was awesome. And then next up, we had an episode where this was another guy I was trying to get for a long time. We had Kenny Vasoli discussing the Starting Lines Island. Now, going into this episode, I asked him if he would want to do the song Island, and I think he was kind of surprised that that's the song we chose. I was like, well, it's one of my favorite, if not, yes, I would say that is my favorite Starting Line song, but I think he was a little bit surprised. I think he thought we were going to do like one of their earlier songs or something.
Yeah, this was a huge production. Not that their other stuff was sparse by any means, but yeah, this wasn't one of their earlier, more punk rock songs. This was definitely a huge song for them, huge production.
Yeah, and you had the Howard Benson tie on this one. This was a Howard Benson production.
Yep.
And also, Chris, a peek behind the curtain. I didn't put this in the episode, but it was pretty funny that Kenny thought you didn't like him. And he kind of called you out. And I guess you'd had a few drinks and jokingly something that you would have said to me or something. And I would have been like, oh, that's just Chris because I know you. But he thought that you didn't like him. And you're like, no, dude, I'm sorry. That was 20 years ago. I was having some drinks, whatever.
No, always liked that band. You know, it's funny. There's very few people, Fat Mike's one of them, that can just, you know, get hammered and be nasty and talk nonsense. And oh, that's just Mike. He gets a pass every time. But, you know, there's been times when, you know, people have been like, oh, you said something off the cuff. It's like, well, yeah, I was just that, you know, I was just teasing. As you said, I was just being Chris. But yeah. Everything's good now. I think he'd come back on the show, Chris. I think all is forgiven.
I think so, too. And I think he was a listener of the show, too. So I really like that guy. And that episode's great. And that song is great. Next up after that, Chris, we had Howie Spangler on to discuss Ballyhoo's Walk Away. That was a good one.
It was a good one. Howie's him and Ballyhoo are just out there year after year doing their thing. I call people to do that lifers. Who knows? It could be tomorrow. Something could go viral. They could have this huge, massive hit. But bands like theirs, they just, it's kind of like what Punchline and Less Than Jake do. We just keep going. You know, you go to the next town, you go to the next city, and it's refreshing to see. And we've done a bunch of touring in Ballyhoo. Love those guys.
Yeah. He was really cool. He's one of those people I'm glad I got to meet at least over the internet this year. Next up, Chris, this was an awesome one. We actually, we hit up Howard Jones because we were talking about No One Is to Blame, the song, which I would love to have Howard back on to talk about that song.
Yes.
But it was the 40-year anniversary of New Song, which was his first hit. Man, Howard was so incredible. Like, I thought this was one of the best episodes of the year. And this guy, you know, in the United States, he's definitely had his share of hits. I think in the UK, he's even had even more hits. He's very much like a Peter Gabriel sort of eccentric performer, but so awesome and such a pioneer of like the new wave and such a pioneer with synthesizers and stuff. Oh, I really, really loved this guy and this episode.
Yeah, I want to say that was there any traditional instruments in this one, like guitars or anything?
No. And I remember one thing about this episode is you used the term real instruments.
Real.
And he corrected you. And you're like, well, actually, just because they're electronic doesn't mean they're not real. And you're like, no, I mean traditional. He wasn't mad about it. But I was like, yeah, you're right. Anything. What makes something a real instrument? You know, they're all real instruments.
Yeah, and I think the argument back then, though, was that even though it was an electronic, a synth instrument, that there was still a human being playing it. at right. least programming it, you know, and a lot of times now it's just push a button and things will happen for you. So he was awesome. I think we can get him back to do No One Is to Blame. I think he enjoyed it. I think we could.
I really want to make that happen because I really love No One Is to Blame. Then next up, Chris, we had another return guest, our old friend and one of the what I think is one of the coolest guys in punk. Mike Carrera came back to talk about MXPX's new single at that moment, Stay Up All Night.
That's right. His team he has behind him, they rolled out this record. They did a really, really cool thing. They're doing like 12 to 15 shows next year, all in A markets, big shows. They're going in, they're getting their friends to play with them, like we're going to be playing with them soon out in Hollywood. And one of the things that they wanted to do to hype the record was to have Mike come on, and they reached out to us. Hey, could you break down the new single? And typically we like to have, you know, an iconic song from an artist's career from way back when. But, you know, we went ahead with this one. A great episode, great song. And Mike's awesome. He's just been a friend forever.
Yeah. Always love Mike. Then next up, Chris, this was also, if we were ranking the episodes of the year, this would be up there. I don't know, rivaling number one. We had our friend Andrew Dost on to discuss Fun's We Are Young, one of the biggest songs that we ever had on here. Grammy Award winning, giant, one of the biggest songs of the 2010s. And just what a amazing story. You actually compared this song in certain ways to Bohemian Rhapsody, and that it's this huge epic production. And I agree. This song is incredible.
Yeah, it's you know, if Bohemian Rhapsody was whatever 8 minutes long or 9 minutes long, here was a 3.5 minute pop song. They were able to, you know, take the grandiosity of this huge rock opera and condense it somehow. Amazing song. I absolutely love it. Andrew's one of the sweetest kind of souls. I had hung out with him a couple months prior, Less Than Jake played in Detroit. He came out, and wasn't that long after we had him on. I think he listens to the show too. I think we might have another listener.
Yeah, I love that. Love Andrew.
And hey, Chris, something we haven't mentioned. All these episodes we're talking about from the very beginning, June of 2020, you can go back. They're out there forever, wherever you get podcasts. Tell a friend or two. Maybe send them a link. Say, hey, my friend likes Fun. She likes that song. He likes that song. Send it to them and help us out a little bit. That'd be awesome.
That's what I love about our show, Chris. Just because an episode's from years ago or months ago or whatever, the story remains the same. Maybe
I know.
Maybe what they plug at the end, like they're plugging a tour or something, maybe the tour has already happened. But other than that, you can listen to these episodes 5 years from now, 10 years from now. They remain evergreen. That's why I love making this show, man.
Yeah, it's awesome. They're out there. And as you said, the story behind the song's not going to change. So it's always current in that sense. Who do we have after Andrew, Chris? I'm drawing a blank.
Next up, we had Alexia Roditis from Destroy Boys discussing Fences, a relatively newer band who has definitely made their mark in the past couple years.
Yeah, that band has made a lot of noise. Ran into them at a campground in Italy. That's where we had a day off and started talking to them and realized I thought she was, I think I even mentioned the episode, I thought she was the tour manager or something because I heard her speaking what I thought was Italian. I guess it was Spanish. But she was not the tour manager. She, in fact, is the front person, front woman for the band. And great song, great band, and I wish them all the best. We're glad to have them on the show.
Hell yeah. And then next up, Chris, we had an episode where it was me and you. Once in a while, we like to do these episodes where we look back on an artist who is no longer with us and break down the song, and it would be nice if we could have the person, but unfortunately, we cannot. But this time, we had a little discussion about Christine McVie and Fleetwood Mac's Don't Stop.
Man, and I talk to you about this in the episode. Simple. I don't think the chord arrangement really changed, but maybe like, I don't know, like a pre-chorus at the end or something. It was just the same thing, but it just goes to show you that it's about the hook. It's about the conviction which it gets sung. Is the lyric poignant? All these little things add up to a hit song, and they knock that one out of the park.
Yeah, the thing I took away from that is like, wow, there are no harmonies in this song. How is that possible?
I know. And how hauntingly similar both Lindsay and Christine sound in that song. They trade off on verses, and just her low husky voice and mixes great with his.
Yeah. Yeah. I really, really love that song. Next up, Chris, we had an episode with an artist that you took on tour, or you were about to take on tour when we recorded this episode. It was Devin Kay discussing Devin Kay and the Solutions' Millennial Homesick Blues. What a funny guy.
Absolutely funny guy. I love their DIY approach. They're doing everything themselves. I felt that we should give them a shot here on the show and get their name out there a little bit more. They've been on the road with us. And of course, I've known Devin forever. He used to play in Direct Hit, and great deserving band, and another band I wish all the best. Love them.
Hell yeah. And then next up, Chris, we had Brandon Hardesty from Bumpin' Uglies discussing Island Time. We had a few reggae episodes this year, and this song is about as reggae as it gets.
Absolutely. And he was another guy that just, I don't think he knew what he was getting himself into at first. And it was within 5 minutes or so. I always can see when I hook them, because it turns. They start talking to me. I'm not asking them questions. And I love that.
Right. And speaking of not knowing what they're getting into, oh boy, this was an awesome one. One of my favorite songs we did this year. And I thought the guy was really funny. We had Joe Jack Talcum from the Dead Milkmen talking about Punk Rock Girl, who, funny enough, recorded the episode outside, which I thought was pretty funny.
He was sitting at like a folding like card table, like out in his side garden. You could just, there's the main street. You can hear cars and, you know, garbage trucks going by and sirens. And he was just having his morning coffee, relaxing. And what a quirky fellow. But man, great song.
Yeah. I think the outside thing was pretty fitting for Dead Milkmen. You know, it just made sense. And I've loved this song forever. And one thing about this song is it sounds like maybe it'd be like a simple song, but I said this to you before we recorded the episode, that in one of my bands, we were like, hey, we should cover Punk Rock Girl. That'd be fun. It's not an easy song to cover because it's so strange and quirky and kind of like the, I don't want to call them mistakes, but kind of mistakes in the song and the weirdness of the song. It's hard to replicate.
It is. They left everything in. They weren't fixing mistakes. There was no computers to fix. You know, there was nothing to tune the vocals with. Look at the video, how ad-libbed the video is. They were just a ragtag, you know, punker kids that just were flying by the seat of their pants. There was no rules. And in fact, when you watch videos of them now, what I found fascinating, Chris, was they leave those mistakes in, meaning certainly 30 years has went by. I know as musicians that we all grow, you know, you're going to continue to get better at your craft to some degree, but they're cognizant of those mistakes or bad chords or wrong notes. They're left in because that keeps the integrity of the song.
Yeah, for sure.
Would you cover that song? How would you cover it?
It's difficult. I mean, you play it cleaner than they play it, but then you lose all the charm of the original. Yep, so,
and all the feel.
Yep. Yeah, there's no reason to cover that song, really, because you just can't do it. Hey, next up, Chris. Oh, boy, did we have a wild one for episode 175. Wheeler Walker Jr. came on to discuss Finger Blast. Easily our funniest episode ever.
Yeah, he came in. He came in swinging. That was
guns blazing.
Yeah, guns fully drawn. Yeah, what a guest. Yeah. Absolutely hilarious on and off camera. I mean, he was saying some stuff when we weren't rolling that was like, man, we need to start rolling. This is gold.
Yeah, he was great. And I became a huge fan. I didn't know. I honestly, somehow it had escaped me. And I didn't know what the story of Wheeler Walker Jr. was. And boy, oh boy. Plus, that song's incredible. That song is amazing. Yeah, so that was a good one. Hey, next up, we had your old buddy Ephraim Scholes on to discuss Death by Stereo's Forever and a Day. This guy, man, I love when guests are happy to be here. I feel like he was the happiest that anyone has ever been on Krista Makes a Podcast, and I thought he was amazing.
I've said this before about guys in the business. You know, I admittedly have never been in a band with Ephraim, so maybe my opinion would change, but I've never seen the dude in a bad mood. He is always positive, like just complete posse, just, you know, just smiling, give you the shirt off his back. And that came across in the episode.
And it's so funny that he has that personality, because you might not picture that when you listen to Death by Stereo's music.
Exactly.
And his delivery, you know?
It's exactly.
Wild. It's wild. He seems like a real sweet guy. Chris, next up, the next episode, one of my favorite episodes of the year, because I became a huge fan of this band based off of this song and this album that this song is from. We had Rao Reynolds on from Enter Shikari to talk about Please Set Me on Fire. And dude, it's one of my favorite albums of the year. I'm a giant fan of this band now, and I maybe wouldn't have dove into their catalog had it not been for having Rao on the podcast.
Yeah, well, I had been telling you about this band. You know, they're one of those bands. They do okay in the States. I think he kind of even joked about it because they were coming over here for a tour, you know. But over in Europe and England, it's massive. I mean, I played festivals where 60, 50, 60,000 people are going mad, going nuts. And I kept telling you about this band. I said, hey, I'm playing a festival with them. I'm going to find a contact. And I did. And we hit him up, got him on the show. And next thing I know, you're calling me. And this happens once in a while. And not that you're like, I'm diving into the back catalog. These guys are like my favorite band right now. That's really awesome.
Dude, this album is incredible. And this album went to number one on the UK charts when it came out. That is really, really awesome. And I wish them, I want more and more albums from them. And I hope that they get even bigger in the States than they are, because everyone should check them out. They are awesome. Next up, Chris, we had an up-and-coming band that has been doing really well in recent years. We had Chris Freeman from Hot Mulligan on to talk about Equip Sunglasses.
That's right. These guys are killing it. Every time I get on the socials, I see a post from them, and it's just they're selling out everywhere. Big rooms. They're going into 1,500, 2,000, 2,500 seat places. It seems like they came out of nowhere, but they've been at it for a good couple of years now, probably 4 or 5 years. We toured with them on the Newfound Glory run a couple of years ago. That's where I was first introduced to them, and good for them. Great band.
It seems like Chris should have equipped his sunglasses when we had him on the podcast too, because he was coming off of what seemed like a late, rough night.
He was on a little bender.
Yeah. but he was a good guest and a funny guy. Next up, Chris, we had a return guest, one of my favorite guests that we have, very knowledgeable, especially about the subject matter of all of his music. We had Spencer Charnas back to discuss Ice Nine Kills' Hip to Be Scared. What a song, what a guest, what a guy, and what a ride their band has been on. You know, touring with Metallica, no big deal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you look at the level of songs that we've discussed on this show, everything from Africa to Maneater. We've broke down some iconic, amazing hits. I hate to, you know, this isn't a popularity contest, but Hip to Be Scared is probably my favorite song I've ever broke down on the show.
Wow.
And one of the most interesting songs I've ever heard in my life. How he goes from first person narrator to talking about himself in third person to doing other voices and other characters. It's theatrical metal, but tongue in cheek. I mean, this isn't completely serious. There's a lot of innuendo, inside jokes. It's executed perfectly, in my opinion.
Yeah, what a production, man. They don't shy away from the huge production, and I think it serves the songs perfectly. Ice Nine Kills is another band, because of Chris Demakes a Podcast, that I've become a huge fan of. Next up, Chris, we had a guest that people have been asking for a very long time, and he was a great guy, had great stories, made me laugh a lot when I was editing it. Jason DeVore was on to talk about Authority Zero's One More Minute.
Jason's great. I've known him forever. It's funny. People in our group, the Facebook group, Chris Makes a Podcast Facebook group, forever, because, you know, Chris, you put up polls in there asking who you want guests, and they've been like, Jason DeVore. And finally, all it was a text. He's like, of course I'll be on. We got him on, and he was great.
Yeah, really, really like that guy. Feel like I would be friends with him in real life. I hope I get to meet him sometime and say, hey, I think we'd be good friends. you're a really nice guy. Next up, Chris, we had one of your personal heroes in music, I guess would be the word to say. That's the way you described it, I believe. We had Duncan Redmond's on to discuss Snuff's Nick Northern.
Duncan was in rare form. He was the most talkative. You know, you got to pull him out of his shell. There's times when he's kind of closed off. In fact, I had reached out to him a couple years ago when we started the pod, and he just was kind of, I don't do interviews. You know how I am. It's like, I know how you are. Right. And he hit me up out of nowhere a couple months ago, and he said, hey, I'm doing press again. I think I want to come on your show. I said, nice. I got a seat. I got a seat for you. So then we had him.
I hope that means that just the gospel of Krista Makes a Podcast is spreading so hard that Duncan thought to himself, man, I got to do that Krista Makes a Podcast. I hope that's what happened.
That's what I'd like to think.
Yeah. Next up, once again, another punk rock icon, someone that really was a pioneer of the world that we have been so involved in, Chris. We had Greg Hetson on to discuss Circle Jerk's Back Against the Wall.
Yes, and lots of laughs during that episode. Yeah. Lots of, you know, I was really digging with Greg because I had just come off giving all those tours out at the Punk Rock Museum, and I was just really... I really wanted to go back to those first shows. Like, what was it really like, you know, when you're playing to 30 people in a burned out building in South Central LA? And this is an area where cops don't go into. It's like you're doing these hit and run type punk shows. And just fascinating to me because, you know, I know coming a decade, 15 years after all the punk things started, yeah, there was still some sketchiness going on, but not like what these guys encountered. And great episode.
Yeah, it's amazing that these guys like Greg Hetson and Mick Conroy from Modern English and Howard Jones, we're talking about songs that are like 40 or 40 plus years ago they recorded them. It's impressive that they have even as many memories about the creation of them that they do have. You know, I feel like there's songs that I've written or recorded 10 years ago that I'd be like, I can't even remember where we did that, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's... a lot of times there's specific memories. I have them attached to songs. You don't really know why about recording them. And these are songs that aren't hits. They're not, they're B-side songs you never even play. But it's funny what memories stick out and what don't.
Next up, Chris, we've been trying to get him for a while to complete the cycle of getting them all. Carl Alvarez came on to discuss Descendants, I'm the One. Such a landmark and important Descendants song. And Carl was... I don't know, very eloquent in talking about it. I thought he was such an amazing guest.
Sometimes you got to go through the side door, Chris, to get what you want. And in this case, Carl's wife, she came up to me because she heard me talking to him in Gainesville when we played with Descendants recently. And she said, you're not going to get him on the phone. She goes, give me your number. I'll get him on your podcast. And I said, right, let's do this. And within 10 days, we had had an episode recorded with Carl. So thank you to Jennifer, Carl's wife, for making it happen.
You'd have never known that it was hard to get him on the podcast because he was such a great guest.
Carl's amazing. And I consider him, and I really believe he considers me a good friend, but I texted, I called, I'm calling the tour manager going, why won't he text me back? He's like, cause he's Carl. So that was it. I didn't get my feelings hurt, but finally we got him in no short part due to his wife. So thank you again, Jennifer. We
caught a white whale. I love it. next up, we had the very sweet Ryan Cabrera on to discuss his song On the Way Down. A very interesting story about saying, hey, if anybody could produce my album, Johnny Resnick would be one I want to do it. He's not a producer, but hey, I'd like him to produce it, and it somehow worked. What a great story.
It paid off. Yeah, even before getting signed, just... you know, having Ashley Simpson's father find you in a nightclub and say, hey, I'm going to bring you to LA and I'm going to give you a stipend and feed you and keep you out here and find you a record deal. I mean, that's just like fairy tale type stuff. And I thought Ryan was very humble and forthcoming, and it was a great conversation.
Yep, he was really good. And also, Chris, next up, we had another return guest this year. And boy, oh boy, do I love when this guy comes on. I know you love it too. Eric Bazillion. You know, we had him last time to talk about the Hooters and we danced, but this time he came on to talk about a song he wrote that became a giant hit in the 90s, as made famous by Joan Osborne, One of Us.
Here's a guy that hadn't had a hit, at least in the States, you know, because the Hooters, after they had their initial pop in the States, and I didn't know this until talking to them the first time, they became this thing in Europe. And they had hit songs over there that were never hits in the U.S. and vice versa. Here he was, though, 10 years later after the Hooters' breakout success and fame, to just have this song that he wrote. And ended up in the hands of the producer that was working with Joan Osborne. And next thing you know, this becomes his biggest song he's ever written in his career. You wouldn't even know it was him unless you research it, because of course it was made famous by Joan Osborne.
I knew it was him only because we had done a One Hit Thunder episode about it. What I didn't know about it was that he played on it and he sings on it.
Yes.
I guess I just didn't register that there were male voices in the song, and I loved that aspect of the story. I thought that was awesome.
Then he grabbed the guitar out, man, and starts playing it. And the minute he starts playing the guitar, you can hear that, yeah, that sounds exactly like the song, or the guitar in the song, because it was.
Yeah, yeah, very cool. I love when people break out a guitar in an episode. Always makes it extra special. And Chris, our final episode of the year, other than the episode you're listening to right now, was our old friend Jarrett Reddick. Yes, he was a return guest too. He was our second episode ever.
Second, yeah.
Years and years ago, he came back to talk about Bowling for Soup's Girl All the Bad Guys Want. And of course, it's a great episode. It's Jarrett. It's our buddy.
That's right. And it was co-written by another past guest of Chris Makes a Podcast, Butch Walker. That was co-written by Jarrett and Butch. Great song. You know, huge. That was their breakout hit. I myself included, I've always thought 85 was the song that came first, and 1985 was on the record after. So this was their breakout song. Jarrett's a podcaster himself. He's a cut-up. He's a ham. He's easy to talk to. So I thought this was kind of a no-brainer for the last guest of the year.
Very fitting to have someone. I feel like he's like me and you. We're all cut from the same cloth. And man, what a year. That just that list, let alone all the years before. I'm really looking forward to 2024, Chris. We already recorded some of the episodes for 2024. We're going to start the year with a bang, because we're not going to say what it is yet, but one of the biggest songs we've ever had on Krista Makes a Podcast is what we're going to start the year with. And man, we have, from all ranges of songs and artists, we have a great year in store for everyone in 2024.
That's right. And this enthusiasm that Chris and I share with you weekly, this isn't because this is a paycheck or a job or any of those things. It's this is complete passion. I still love doing this. Every song, whether I've heard it a million times or I've never heard it, it's new to me. I get to look at it in a different way. It excites me. I can't wait for the guests in 2024. Again, if you're not a member of the Krista Makes a Podcast VIP supporting cast, please head over to chrisdemakes.com. Check it out. We'd love to have you be a part. Thanks to everybody who is a supporting cast member, and each and every one of you who just listen to the show each week. We appreciate you. Head over to our Facebook group and join if you're not a member over there, because that's kind of like our community center, Chris. That's where everything happens.
There's a lot of rewarding things about making this podcast. Of course, it's getting to talk to and interact with songwriters that I love and respect, and, you know, getting to work with you, Chris. That's part of it too for me. But I also get a lot of satisfaction and happiness from interacting with people that listen and hearing their opinions on things and what they took away from the episodes. And especially when I meet someone in person who's a listener of the podcast, because we instantly have so much we can talk about. You know, there's no awkward small talk. It's like, I love this episode. Oh yeah, here's something about that episode that you might not know. And it's just instant conversation. And I love that. I mean, that in itself is so rewarding to me.
Absolutely. And just the fact that, Chris, there's always another hit single being written right now. We never know what we're going to wake up to tomorrow. That's exciting to me. We now have a Krista Makes a Podcast Instagram page where Chris is posting tons of great content and clips. We got video clips of me talking with the guests on there. It's great, as well as the Krista Makes official YouTube page. A bunch of stuff and a bunch of things going on over there. And give my man Chris Fafalius a follow on Instagram. figure out how to spell his name. You'll figure it out.
Yeah, you'll
and
figure
I'm
it out.
And I'm on Instagram at less than Chris D. And again, thanks to everybody who not only made 2023 special here at Kristen Makes a Podcast, but for the last 3 years, it's going to be 4 years next June that we've had the lights on here, Chris, and I'm as proud as ever. And thank you, Chris, for doing all you do.
Hell yeah, man. Thank you for being the host with the most, and can't wait for another great year.
That's right. And thanks to every guest we've had this year. Thanks to you for listening. And we'll see you next year.
Hey, what's up? This is Blake Weiland. I'm the host of the Tone Mob Podcast. It's a show where I interview guitar people about guitar stuff. We talk about their pedals, their amps, their accessories, their preferences, all that stuff, as well as a healthy dose of whatever comes up. Topics have ranged from aliens to addiction and anywhere in between. Oh yeah, and pizza. We're definitely going to be talking about pizza. So get the show wherever you're listening to this podcast at. Just search The Tone Mob in your search bar and it will pop right up. Come join us. We're having a lot of fun. Thanks for checking it out.
Bowie, Dylan, Marley. You've heard the names and maybe you've heard their songs, but what about the stories behind the records that made titans of music like these so universally loved and important? Join me, Josh Adam Myers, host of The 500, as each week I go through a different album from Rolling Stone Magazine's 500 Greatest Albums list from 2012 with an incredible lineup of comedians, actors, and musicians talking about how the music has impacted their lives. New episodes of The 500 come out every Wednesday. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.